This is the Hollywood Casino Press Box. Now back to Frank Cusimano on 590 The Fan and 590thefan.com.
When I wake up in the morning, love, and the sunlight hurts my eyes, and something without warning, love, bears heavy on my mind, then I look at you, and the world's all right with me.
11:03, welcome back to the never boring city of St. Louis here in the Hollywood Casino Press Box on the still all new 590 The Fan, 590thefan.com. Charlie Marlowe, Jim Huer, Brian Hoffman, and the Peoria Plowboy, Darren Atkins, filling in for Martin and Frank as they actually are on assignment today, part of the Red Ribbon panel to nominate and vote for the Cardinals Hall of Fame class of 2019. We'll get to our baseball Hall of Fame ballots here in just a second. How about this breaking news from Hoffman's favorite guy, Darren Rovell?
He blocked me on Twitter.
I know. Breaking.
Really? I was an ass once. I don't like him.
Just once you were?
More than once. I don't like Darren. I don't like what he represents.
He has good tweets, though. He has good information.
He doesn't see people as people, and that's a problem.
I agree with that. Mm-hmm. But he has good informative.
That was an interesting.
Yeah, but his mindset shouldn't exist.
But I'm talking about the sports business perspective, I think is very interesting, and he's a go-to guy for that. So about 10 minutes ago, Darren Rovell tweeting, breaking, attorney Frank D'Amico says he has filed a civil suit in New Orleans on behalf of Saints season ticket holders to make the right call and bring both teams back to replay the end of the game. More to come. How about that?
Frank, you got your 15 minutes of fame.
Not going
to
happen.
Good luck to you. Yeah, never, ever going to happen. No, it won't.
And this is coming from somebody who would have monetarily benefited if the Saints won that game. And
I
also,
forgot you did have that wager.
Don't like the Rams, and I like all my Buckeyes on the Saints. And as horrible of a call as that was, what bothers me the most, too, is that that wasn't one of those calls that you had to check the replay. It was very obvious in real time. And that's what really bothered me about that call. And Martin and I were talking about this yesterday. He said, what percentage do you think the fix was in to get the Rams the Super Bowl? And I said, basically 0%. I don't think that has anything to do with this.
It was them wanting the Rams to get the ball back?
I just think this is human error. I really do.
Boy. Here's what I got a little different look at this. I think this was the officials being told when the playoffs start, anything grabbing, touching with receivers, you let it go in the playoffs. Because the game is completely called differently in the secondary than it is in week 1 through 5 or 6 during the regular season.
There was, 90 seconds left in that? If it's the final minute and a half of the first, second, and third quarters, that penalty gets called.
It could be. They're letting guys clutch and grab the entire time, which I don't have a problem with it. And that one was just an egregious error. They just flat out missed it. But they've been told, let it go, let things go. And the officials probably scared to death going, I can't make that call this late. We got to let this ride. They told us, if it's in doubt, let it ride.
I understand that.
Let it ride then.
It's kind of like the end of a basketball game where the officials, if it's tied or whatever it is, the officials don't want to be the ones to call a foul late and they feel like they determine the outcome. You're going to let them play. And I agree with that. If it's 50-50, if it's 60-40, if it's 55-45, I 100% agree. But anybody watching that play, again, it was real time. It was in real time that you saw the guy. He beat him there by a second. It wasn't like it was even close to being a bang-bang play. And that's look, to me, we all know what the NFL and the Rams did to St. Louis, and I hate it. Don't get me wrong. But I can't hide the fact that I still love the NFL as a product because I do think it's a great product. And of course, Roger Goodell has made all his mistakes. There's a lot of things that we should rightfully so criticize the NFL about. But I do think they have a fantastic product and the ratings prove that. But that's why you can't have the endings that we saw where it's a call that's all that anybody's talking about. Nobody is talking as much about the Rams the next day. On every sports show, on every First Take, on every show there is, it's about the call, and rightfully so. And look, maybe years from now we'll forget about that, but
no,
after your showcase day, your championship Sunday, where it's 7 hours of NFL, NFL, NFL. And the next day, the two biggest stories are what? Blown call, and the NFL has to change their overtime rules because the future of the league, Patrick Mahomes, and a great offensive talent and a great offensive team should not go through an overtime period and not touch the football. And I think that's also fair. And that's the two things most people were talking about the next day. Not who won the games. Controversy.
There is some humor, though. And I was thinking about this last night. Would I have preferred the Saints win on Sunday? Probably. Is it kind of funny that no one really considers this Rams win to be legitimate? Yes. I do like how the first time Kroenke gets to the Super Bowl as principal owner, no one considers it real. And what bothers me is, now it came out yesterday, the NFL in the offseason will consider making pass interference a reviewable play. And now you're going to make the games longer when the solution simply is call penalties when you see it. That's it. This isn't, you know, it's kind of hard to see if his knee was down when the ball was loose, or if he caught the ball, or was his knee down when he crossed the plane, or before he crossed the plane with the ball for a touchdown. Those are snap plays that probably could, that have benefited from being able to go to a camera, slow it down, and see, okay, yeah, ball was out, ball wasn't out, or he did score. Instead, it's, if you just called the penalties as they are described in the rule book, and in this case, there were two penalties, pass interference and a helmet-to-helmet hit, then you're fine, and there is no further discussion. But now games are just going to be longer because officials got a little alligator arms at the worst possible moment.
And also, we see this a lot in politics, and we're seeing this in sports. It's false equivalency, where when everybody saw this play, right, it was very obvious. It was at the end of the game. It wasn't bang-bang, and you could certainly say it decided the game because if they make that call,
game's over.
The game is most likely over.
The
Saints
Rams
can
get the
run
ball
out the clock.
Seconds left, basically. Yes.
And the Saints kick it or score, and it's over, right? Then you have all the Rams fans saying, look at this call that wasn't made where, okay, you missed a call in the third quarter. Oh, look at this call that wasn't. We get that, okay? And a lot of those are judgment calls, and they're the 50-50 type calls that I think if you're a fair football fan, you look at them and say, okay, yeah, I could have seen it go either way there, which is totally different than what we saw with the big call that was obvious that happened at the end of the game, that no matter what you think, if that call goes the other way, if it's called properly, the Saints win the game, the Saints go to the Super Bowl.
Have you thought about how the Saints have been eliminated the last 2 years?
Unbelievable.
I was asking Plowsy yesterday, actually, and you guys can chime in on this. What fan base has suffered worse losses the last 2 years? Saints fans or Georgia Bulldog football fans?
It's got to be Saints. Because both times you had the game won.
Okay.
And the play up in Minnesota, and then this one, you had it taken away from you by officials. Out of your control.
And the Minnesota play, that was a walk-off, right? That was as the clock expired.
Yes.
Yep.
That
was
it. You can make the case. That's one of those plays, too, that I feel like we'll kind of forget about it a little bit as history goes on because the Vikings didn't either get to the Super Bowl or win it. You know what I'm saying?
Right. They didn't capitalize and move on.
Like the Miracle on Ice. If they don't win the next game and win the gold, I mean, it's still a great moment. Don't get me wrong. But if you don't finish the deal, we forget about some of those moments a little more. And that's where with that Vikings win, okay, they lose the next week. It's still an amazing play. But, yeah, the Saints were a team that could have easily beaten the Eagles last year and gotten to the Super Bowl and potentially won one as well. And so to lose on a walk-off where, hey, that was just a bad play by the Saints and a fantastic play by the Vikings. But then this year you feel like you were robbed, and I think that's fair.
Yeah, you had everything set up to win, and you're the Saints. You just had your everything taken away from you.
This is the Hollywood Casino Press Box on 590 The Fan, 590thefan.com. Charlie Marlowe, Jim Huer, Brian Hoffman, and Darren Atkins, the Peoria Plowboy. Get your calls in the Maryville University listener line, 855-282-8255. That same number, good for our winning streak. Text line, show content brought to you by the Bomarito Automotive Group, Missouri's number one automotive group, also available 24/7 at bomarito.com. Hoffman.
Chuck.
Ballot time.
Ballot time.
Uh-oh.
All right, let's do this. Okay. Hall of Fame ballots, they will be announced later today, I believe on MLB Network. I think the show starts at 3 p.m., if I'm not sure. That could be Eastern time.
Is that like a three-hour pregame?
It is a three-hour. I believe it's a three-hour show, actually. That is correct. Let's start with, how about we start this way, with the first-year guys, okay? And at the top, Mariano Rivera, Roy Halladay, Todd Helton, Andy Pettitte, Lance Berkman, Roy Oswalt, Miguel Tejada. I don't think we need to include, even though we love them, Rick Ankiel and Juan Pierre and Darren Oliver.
What about
I don't think
Jason
they're getting
Bay?
In.
Why do you hate Ted Lilly?
Jason Ted Bay's Lilly. On the ballot. Oh, wow.
How about Jason Bay? Everybody wanted either Jason Bay or Matt Holliday back in 2009. I think the Cardinals made the right choice. Is that fair?
Yes.
I think that's fair, yeah.
Yep.
So obviously Mariano's in for first ballot, guys.
Easy. Yep, absolutely.
And that's not even close. When you go after that, who are your first-year guys that you think should get in this year when you're talking Roy Halladay, Todd Helton, Andy Pettitte, Lance Berkman, et cetera?
I only voted for one, and that's Rivera, but that's because I'm limited to 10. I have other guys here who I would like to see get in. I do think Halladay gets in this year, and I think he's trending at over 85% on the public ballot, so I think he's a shoo-in for the season. Beyond that, I think those are the only two of the first ballots.
Let me ask you this.
Ask away.
Halladay.
Yes.
You look at his numbers. 203 and 105 win-loss, 3.38 career ERA, a career ERA plus of 131, so basically about 31% better than average for his entire career. I always like to look at what you led the league in, too. He had a year where he led the league in wins with Toronto with 22. Win-loss percentage, games started, complete games, he led the league 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 times. Right. Shutouts, he led the league 1, 2, 3, 4 times. Innings, led the league 4 times. Hits allowed, that's not obviously a positive. But batters face, so he's going out there, he's a workhorse. He leads the league in ERA plus 1 year, in FIP 1 year, in WHIP 1 year, and lowest home runs allowed. In a strikeout-to-walk ratio, he leads 5 times. He has 2 Cy Young wins. He has a bunch of All-Star games.
2 Cy Young wins and 4 other, or 5 other, rather, top 5 finishes in the Cy Young.
He has 2 top 10 MVP finishes as well. So I think what's interesting, though, and you hate to say it, because when a man passes away, there's also a groundswell to get him in on the first year. The more I look, though, I feel like he might have been first year anyway.
Yes.
But that certainly helps. And you hate to say it, though, but when you have kind of the narrative behind the numbers, I think that's also pushed Roy Halladay's percentage up. But again, you can make the case he should be a first ballot Hall of Famer anyway.
I think him doing in Toronto what he did while pitching in the American League East also really boosts his profile, consistently facing some of the best offenses in baseball, not getting that much support in some of those years in Toronto as well. I think he's maybe the best right-hander of his time.
So he can make that argument. Yep, absolutely.
How about anybody else from that group? Should Todd Helton, Andy Pettitte, Lance Berkman, Roy Oswalt get in first ballot?
I think Lance is an interesting candidate only because he's a switch hitter. And I think as Chipper Jones got a lot of play for that, Lance is an interesting guy for me. But beyond Rivera and I think Roy gets in, I don't think so.
For me, I also put Andy Pettitte in the mix. I just look at the World Series. I look at the postseason starts. I understand he had that little steroid issue. I think he was in there with Roger Clemens, if I'm not mistaken. I think Andy Pettit's a Hall of Famer. It's hard for me to vote him in first, but if I'm looking at that and I'm comparing Pettitte to Halladay, I think I'll choose Pettitte, although I think both are going to be in eventually. So
that's what's tough, though, is I'm agreeing. I think I'm going to put in my ballot, which doesn't count, of course, Rivera and Halladay in as first ballot guys. And I'm not saying that, let's say, Helton is not deserving, but it's more so when I look at the other guys, if you're making a 10-person ballot. And I'm one, and look, everybody has a different philosophy on the steroids guys or the PEDs, whether it's a positive test or rumors or whatever. I think you need to get these guys off the ballot. And I say that, look, I think if you're a player that I think was great enough to be in the Hall of Fame, maybe without steroids, I'm okay with putting them in, because I think the other players get penalized when Bonds and Clemens and Sosa and Manny just languish on the ballot for years and years and years, and people vote for them, but their totals kind of creep up, and that keeps other deserving candidates from either getting in or staying on the ballot. So my 10, I'm putting Edgar in, Edgar Martinez, Mussina. Mm-hmm. I'm putting Clemens in, put Bonds in, get him off the ballot. I'm putting in Omar Vizquel, Fred McGriff, Manny Ramirez, and I'm kind of surprised at how low Sammy Sosa's total is for the numbers he's put up when you're talking about basically 8% last year for 600-plus home runs.
Interesting. Here's what my biggest thing is. I don't care about steroids anymore. Let them in. You didn't give a damn when they were taking it. Then all of a sudden you threw up the flag. Oh, no, nobody can take it because the numbers are getting inflated. And we don't like that in Major League Baseball. I don't care anymore. Barry Bonds was a Hall of Fame talent, period. Roger Clemens was a Hall of Fame talent, period, with or without him. So they're in. I'm going Mussina, Vizquel, we talked about this earlier. If Baines is in, Larry Walker's in because Larry Walker was a better player than Merrill Baines. Manny Ramirez, steroids, I don't care. He's in. Sheffield, Andrew Jones for me is getting in. 10 gold gloves.
Okay.
And you look at 434 home runs, Andrew Jones gets in for me. Because when he was playing, he was the best center fielder in the game. So Andrew Jones gets in for me. And then Mariano and Roy Halladay.
I went Edgar, Mussina, Clemens, Bonds. Vizquel, Larry Walker, because it's stupid that people counter with Coors Field. If you're going to use the DH against a player, then get rid of the DH. If you're going to use Coors Field against a player for the Hall of Fame, then move the Rockies. Get them out of Denver. It's dumb and illogical to use it against them. Manny Ramirez and Gary Sheffield are two of only 17 players in the history of baseball to have 2,500 hits and more than 500 home runs. And Gary Sheffield, to me, is a very underrated, dominant right-handed hitter in baseball. Especially he was feared through much of the 90s and 2000s. I also gave a vote just because I think he belongs in. He won't get in. Scott Rolen as well. He's my 10th.
Rolen is a guy, if he would have never got hurt, it would be a...
I still think even healthy with what he provided defensively, he's a Hall of Famer.
He was as good as defensively as we'll see.
When you look at Roland's numbers, career 364 on base, career 490 slug for one of the best defensive third basemen of his generation. So a career 855 OPS and a career OPS plus of 122. So offensively 22%. Better than league average. And then again, that's not even counting the defense. And you start to look at the different war stats and all that. And Scott Rolen has what? He's basically between about 44. He's got total war, he's got 70.2. And when you compare that to Manny Ramirez, who's at 69, Fred McGriff, who's 52, guys like Omar Vizquel at 45, I mean, I think also the fact that Scott Rolen, it's his second year on the ballot, I think he's going to get in, but I think it's going to take a couple years for him to creep up. That's why I tried to do this in the sense where I think Fred McGriff and Larry Walker are very close in terms of just who was the better player. And again, you can look at Walker's numbers and say some of the offensive numbers are much better, and you can talk about Coors Field and all that, whatever. But I think the fact that Fred McGriff is in year 10, I'd like to see him get in this year. Walker has one more year, and I think if he gets in, he has the chance next year.
Do you think McGriff gets in then through the Veterans Committee? If that's how Harold Baines got in, doesn't that make sense for a guy like
McGriff? Yeah, once he gets to that list, he'll get in for sure. There's no doubt. The one thing about Rolen, and this is not a reason to keep him off the ballot or out of the Hall of Fame, which intrigued me about his career.
You hate him?
No, I loved him. I loved him as a Cardinal. I never understood a guy who plays as hard as he did and was, you know, did everything right. Both the managers he played for in Philly and St. Louis ended up not liking him and running him out of town. Larry Boa was the reason why he ended up here, because Boa didn't like him. And Boa was the same exact kind of player that Rolen was supposed to be. When Boa played, he was a scrappy guy, this and that. And then Tony ran him out of town here. They got in their discord, and that was the end of that. Obviously, his injury didn't help him either, but it was whatever happened there. And I never understood with Scott how those type of managers would sour on him because he answered the bell. He just went out and played hard.
What's crazy to me when you look at especially just overall war is you're looking at these guys on the ballot and look at Edgar, okay, about 68. Mike Mussina, 83. Curt Schilling, 79. Larry Walker, 72. And then you look at Clemens and Bonds, who, again, year seven, Roger Clemens' total war is 140, basically. And Barry Bonds is 163. And we're making cases for guys like Scott Rolen, who are in the war, you know, 70-type wars. Mm-hmm. Manny Ramirez, 69. I mean, Barry Bonds, and look, we all know what's attached to him with the PEDs. But I just think when you look at Barry Bonds and Roger Clemens, they were so good. And then, look, I understand they're tainted, but still, those are guys who, in my opinion, were Hall of Famers beforehand. And I just think this is the way the Hall of Fame is changing. And I've thought this for a long time. And I know a lot of people don't like him politically, but yesterday on Twitter, Keith Olbermann put out there what his idea for the Hall of Fame was. He said, basically, have one wing for the absolute studs. The first ballot, the titans of the game, the Babe Ruths, the Willie Mays, and so forth. And then you have kind of the general population of the Hall of Fame. And then your third wing is maybe guys with shorter careers. Maybe you had an injury or something happened, like with a death, Thurman Munson, and some of the guys that are tainted with PEDs. And to me, that's a way to kind of clear off the ballot, but you still can honor these guys in different ways. And I understand this would change what the Hall of Fame is right now, but wouldn't it make more sense if you had a separate wing for, let's say, the first ballot Hall of Famers? So that was a really cool thing and a big honor to be in the wing where your first ballot, right? And then don't put those steroids guys in there. They have to be in the other wing with whatever it is, either the general population or your numbers or your career are tainted in a certain way, whether it's because of a short career, an injury, PEDs. I think that's a way to kind of solve this problem.
I think the problem is unsolvable as far as the integrity of Baseball Hall of Fame, just because you're putting so many players in. I think there's the hall of really good to great that are getting in left and right, and the steroid guys are a separate issue. Those guys should be in regardless. Their numbers, Clemens and Bonds, like you said, speak for themselves. Mm-hmm. But I just think the integrity of Baseball Hall of Fame is gone forever, at least for me, because you're going to get guys like Harold Baines with the Veteran Committee. These guys will never go away off the ballot until they're actually in the Hall of Fame. And that's most of the time, the guys that go into the Veteran Committee will get in, and most of those are not deserving. So I just have a problem with it overall, what you consider a Hall of Fame player.
That is the Peoria Plowboy. I'm Charlie Marlowe. We got Jim here, Brian Hoffman here on the Hollywood Casino Press Box on 590 The Fan, 590thefan.com. The text line, the winning streak text line, 855-282-8255. Got a couple coming in on the Hall of Fame debate. This is from Uncle Leonard's love child. He says, if McGriff gets in, does he go in wearing the Tommy Mansky commercial hat?
Yes, he absolutely should.
That's epic right there. The Baldwin bottom feeder. Guys, it is crazy that Jimmy Ballgame, Jim Edmonds, got kicked off the ballot after year one. His numbers, my God. And I totally agree with that. And that's my point about the steroids, guys. Look, you can make the case none of them should get in. But you end up penalizing guys like Jim Edmonds two times, back when they were playing, because those guys were hitting all the home runs and they were making money and all that. And then you penalize them again when those guys hang on the ballot for 10 years and the writers kind of hem and haw and their numbers go up each year. But then guys who are really good like Jim Edmonds get kicked off in year one. Because even if you don't think Jim Edmonds should be in the Hall of Fame, he deserves, in my opinion, several years of the debate for on MLB Network for them to debate Jim Edmonds' career. And look at the defense, and look at the offense, and compare him to other players. The fact that he fell off in year one, I agree, that's a travesty. Splashback texting in, Andy Pettit should make it because his name was used for so many fantasy baseball team name puns. So there you have it. Get your texts in on the winning streak text line, 855-282-8255. Your questions for Ask Dr. Rick, that is coming up next on the Hollywood Casino Press Box on 590 The Fan and 590thefan.com.